my goodness. I'm really sorry.
Wow.
I think I'm also deaf, but... So, sisters, I just want to say one thing before we start. Well, actually, I have a lot that I want to say. But I just want to say that what happened here before the quiet is really an object lesson for all of us. And I'm going to touch on that again, because every time we want to enter into quiet, we will encounter distractions. We will encounter frenetic activity in our hearts or in our world or from the enemy. And so part of me tonight, like as all of that was transpiring, I almost had a little chuckle with the Lord, because I thought, you know, it's true. Like, life is full of distractions, and things go wrong, and we're always going to be tempted to move into activity. So, Charlotte, that was my teaching, like my teacher moment. That was my little, my tribute to Charlotte, who I want to be my friend to. So first I have to look at all of you, because this is my favorite part about speaking, especially to New Life Drescher communities and all of the people who come in through this New Life Drescher community, because I just feel so encouraged as I look at you, and I just want to thank everybody who's prayed for me, who's tried to encourage me today, and who have really been on this journey with me. So it feels very life-giving to be up here looking at you. So I'm feeling pretty good. So the only thing that makes me feel a little anxious is, because I am an extrovert, there are people in this room I don't know, and that sort of bothers me. So if I track you down, don't be alarmed. So I'm going to be talking with you tonight about this practice that you've heard referenced over and over called Lectio Divina, which translates into sacred reading, or like in my version, it's the guided scripture meditation. That's the Susan Geiger translation. And I'll be talking about it with us tonight in a few different steps, because first you're probably like, what even is that? I don't even know. So I'm going to tell you that, and then I'm going to walk you through the practice, and then we're going to gather together in groups and talk about it. So I'll be giving you help along the way. But before we get into the actual doing, I want to share with you briefly about how I got introduced to this practice. And at the start of 2015, I had two very significant losses occur in my life. On January 21st, my mom died. And within 7 days, her younger sister, who was obviously my aunt, and who was my second mom, unexpectedly died. And the loss of these two women, who were the most significant women in my family life, led me into a season of intense grief and mourning. Now, my own mother's death was precipitated by months of care for her from a distance. I made a number of trips out to see her in Western Pennsylvania. And when I think back on that time, this is how I felt. I was physically, emotionally, and spiritually done. However, being the primary caretaker of my mom, I was also the executrix of her will. I was a mother myself. I was a wife. I had a part-time job in a ministry. And my mind was trained to think about hundreds of things simultaneously. So, well, I felt like that. My brain looked like this. It was totally chaotic. So my thoughts were tripping over one another. There was no room for clarity. There was no room for rest. I had a serious case of monkey brain syndrome. Now, in my grief, I was desperate to be with God, because I knew He was the one who would give me the peace that I needed and who would give me the solace that I needed to heal my heart. But feeling so completely spent and mentally juggling a marathon of responsibilities, I had no idea how to be with God that didn't feel completely overwhelming. I knew how to study. I knew how to go to women's Bible study. I knew how to go to church. I knew how to worship. But these means that were granted to me were not life-giving in this particular season. Instead, they seemed to drain me even further. So the reality is, I kind of floundered. I realized that as I sought to love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, it was my mind that was my dominant way of expressing that love. I really had no idea how to love and be loved with my heart and with my soul. So one day I opened my email to find an invitation from Sandy Elder. And at the time I really didn't know Sandy at all, and she was asking if I wanted to attend this soul listening community. And I read her words a few times and I thought, yeah, I'm not really sure what this is, but I have to be there. And so that is like when the Holy Spirit gives you a big like kick in the pants and you just go. And so I did. I responded. And you got a glimpse of what Sandy and Carol do here this morning. And so I would really encourage you to just pray if there isn't a season now or in the near future where the Lord might not be inviting you to participate in that. It's been so meaningful to me because in this season when I had no more to offer anyone, Sandy and Carol put into my hands, into my heart, ways to be with my sweet Lord that were not only accessible to a burnt out woman, but these were the very things that God used to restore me, to nourish me, and to deepen my walk with Him. So remember, I'm the recovering, raging extrovert, right? So silence was a totally foreign concept to me. Like, if there's a space, I will fill it. But I vividly recall the evening. Our group happened to meeting at Sandy's house that night, and we were sitting in her family room downstairs, and we were going to practice quiet. And so, you know, we're sitting there, and like any good student, I said to Sandy, I said, well, what do I do? And you said, nothing. Just be with God. And I have to tell you, sisters, I almost wept with relief and joy to think that my God wanted to be with me more than any way that I desire to be with Him. So come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is all I needed to do, was to come. And in the coming, with nothing more than my desire, God tenderly loved me, and He drew me to Him, and a season of healing began in my soul. So, after a testimonial like that, right, I have to tell you, what is one of these means of being quiet? And I think that one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite practices is that, you know, this is all really new to me. In fact, being before you right now is kind of an act of repentance because I laughed with Sarah Gamage on the way down. I have been in a very busy season in my life, and my eye was twitching yesterday morning, and I thought, Lord, you have the wrong person, because I just need you, and I need to be quiet with you, and I need your help. And this particular practice, especially for those of us who, like maybe this morning you felt a little bit overwhelmed with an hour of silence because it felt like, I don't know, what am I supposed to think about? Lectio is going to give us some guardrails to our silence. And it's a wonderful entryway into this way of being with God. So the practice of Lectio Divina dates back to the 6th century. It's part of the monastic traditions, most closely associated with Saint Benedict. And because I'm an otter, that is all the historical information I have for you. So screaming centuries, eras, decades ahead, I bring you the book that Sandy and Carol talked about, and it's on the back table. It's Ruth Haley Barton's book, Sacred Rhythms. And this book was really instrumental to me as I was beginning those baby steps into quiet and solitude. In her chapter, she talks about Lectio Divina, and she starts it with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So you can look at that while I read it to you. It says, "The word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. And just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart as Mary did. That is all. Do not ask, how shall I pass this on, but what does this say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you." For me, this quote helps to answer a couple of questions about meditation. How are we to meditate, and why are we to meditate? Well, in the how, one of the things we ask God is to help us to come to Him with a posture of humble listening. I listened to some things by Tim Keller, who is sort of the Pope of the PCA. And he talks about this distinction between Bible study and Bible meditation. In Bible study, we're typically engaging the word cognitively, maybe even analytically. We're seeking to obtain information that's very important to us in our walk with God. So we are reading the text. In meditation, we approach the text with the desire to receive how the text reads us. So we move from gathering information, again, important, essential, to seeking more of this transformation from the Scripture. Both are important spiritual disciplines. The practice that we're going to be doing this evening, the practice of Lectio Divina, uses shorter sections of Scripture, anywhere from 3 to 9 verses, to assist us in our meditation. And rather than reading a chapter or a book, we read these small portions of Scripture with the desire to have a word or a phrase that we allow to just seep deeply into our soul. So why is this important to us? I mean, God through Scripture is always inviting us or instructing us, meditate on my word, be still, know that I am God. So one of the things that I think personally, and I think it's there's a truth in there for all of us, is that with meditation, it's one of the ways that we allow God's word to enter deeply into our souls and into our hearts and into our minds. And as the Holy Spirit kind of pushes these truths deeper and deeper into us, we are transformed. We are changed. We are changed because the truth begins to occupy more space, and the truth begins to push out the lies that we believe about God, about ourselves, and about other people. So when I think about truth, I think about light. And so I think about, as God brings His light deeper and deeper into me, the darkness in me is exposed. The power of the darkness is loosened. One of my favorite verses is from Jeremiah 15:16, and I know you're going to say, because it's about eating, and that part is true, but Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." Sisters, that's meditation. It's pondering. It's listening, it's chewing on the most satisfying of spiritual foods. Or, in my last historical reference, Saint Benedict said, we're to listen with the ear of our heart. Another obstacle that we face in this meditation is both our external and our internal busyness. And here's another quote, and I am so grateful to Aaron, who gave me this book, Unseen, because it's been really a blessing to me. She writes, "If you want true beauty, look into the face of Jesus," writes the preacher Charles Spurgeon. "Beauty is in the lines of His face, the humanity He wore for you and for me. But but we tend to be a people of quick glances, even with God. Life at warp speed allows for little beholding. We are increasingly accustomed to three-minute waits and one-click purchases, and in our approach to God, we follow the same pattern. We want the sound bites, or we wait in expectation for barked impersonal orders, or we expect to barrel through life and then sit down for 30 minutes and somehow find our focus, though our hearts were racing for the other 23 and a half hours of our day. We want to gaze at God's beauty. We want to look into Jesus' face, but speed and beauty rarely coexist. So that's a picture that Sarah Haggerty creates about our harried selves. And I would venture to guess that most of us in this room would nod our head and say, yeah, that's true for me, or that's true for much of my life. In our sermon series at New Life Drescher, we're talking about this grace-paced life. And one of the aspects of a grace-paced life is balance between activity and quiet. And we need help, sisters. We need spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines to help us to transfer from the frenetic paces of life to the grace paces of life. Now, before I talk us through the actual practice, I have one more slide I want to share with you. So this beautiful poster, which is on your retreat booklets, and you've seen it all around this weekend, was created by, put together by the beautiful Jen Standen, who came up with this poster. And I love this. This picture is really it's a powerhouse to me. It's a visual powerhouse. I am a very visual person. So you take a look at this picture. There's this woman walking down a path. Hydrangeas happen to be like my favorite flower. If you come to our house, it's loaded with them. So that's probably part of the appeal. I'm gonna do something that I'm gonna say. I'm gonna fence this practice a little bit for us. Because when I look around this room, I see sisters here who I know have spent years studying God's word. You are the sheep who know his voice. You know what he sounds like. You know what his heart is. You know his character because you've seen it revealed to you in his word. And I have to say, if you've never done anything like this, if you've mostly been a student of scripture, Lectio Divina may be a practice that really resonates with you as another way to connect with God around his word. Now, others of you, because you know to my angst, I don't know each and every one of you, may not even be sure if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if that's the case, find me. I want to talk to you. Talk to your group leaders. Talk to any of the women who have been on this platform this weekend, because we want to know if you're questioning. And some others of you may be new to Bible study. So how are you going to listen to God if you're not sure what he sounds like? Well, the answer is really, I'm going to simplify it. I mean, one is faith, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into truth. So we rely on that. And the other is we test. We test what we hear by looking at scripture to see if it stands up. We test it by seeking wise counsel with other sisters, maybe who are further along the journey with us. So I just want to give you an example. I've done some work with a young woman, and when we were practicing quiet together, she said, I think God's telling me that I'm going to get married. And she was approaching 30. And she had a deep, deep desire to be married. So is that a word from God? Is God preparing her to be married? You know, I don't really know. She's still unmarried right now. I don't know if he's preparing her. Maybe you in the quiet will hear something like that. Maybe you hate your job and you hear, I think God's telling me to quit. Or maybe you hear, I long for a child. I think God's telling me I'm going to get pregnant when I go back. There's a whole host of different ways that we might hear. But what I want to say is, if you do hear something like that, I want you to stop, and I want you to recognize that what you've heard is a desire of your heart. And the desires of our heart belong under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something else, sisters. If you aren't used to silence, you may hear desires that have been long quieted by your activity. Those desires will rise up, and you will hear them maybe for the first time. And so I say that to you not to be afraid of them, but to engage God with them. Tell him the desire of your heart. Share with him the power that that desire has over you. Ask him to show you, how do I trust this desire to you? How do I submit this desire to you? I want to hear from you. So why do I say this picture? Why does this picture speak to me? Because, well, one, it's all beauty, and I love beauty. Walking down that path surrounded by all those beautiful hydrangeas, you know, it just whispers to me. It says, come, Susan. Now, if I deconstruct the picture with you a little bit, it's going to lose some of its allure. I mean, the path without all of the wild flowers and growth is really just, it's a path. It's a sturdy path. It's a sure path. It probably took a lot of thought and engineering to create that path. But it's not especially beautiful. But the path is essential to the picture. And the reason that's essential is that without that path, that young woman would find herself wandering in the tangle of all of those hydrangeas. She could easily be lost. She could easily be injured. She could easily be hurt. The path to me represents God's word. It keeps her going in a particular direction. It boundaries her. Time spent studying God's word is going to inform our times of meditation. So taken together, the discipline of study and this discipline of meditation, I think will really, I think that when you look at historical Christianity, when you look at the ancient church, when you look at what God invites us to in his word, I mean, he opens up the prayer book of the Bible, the first psalm, says, meditate on my law. God instructs us to do this. And so when we take the study and we add the meditation, there's the possibility of a much richer and a deeper walk, and I think a sweeter walk for us as daughters of our God. So I'm done fencing. If you have any questions, I would love to. You know I want to talk to you, so. So now we're going to move on to the practice, and I hope you brought your retreat booklets with you, because you're going to find on pages 16 and 17 the Lectio Divina. Now, I chose this passage after some time of prayer because it's so invitational to me. It reveals the heart of our Savior, and it reveals how he loves us and how he calls us friends. And you know, friends don't just talk at one another. Friends listen to one another. Friends sit in comfortable quiet with one another. So my prayer is that this passage would kind of draw you in the same way. So just take a look at how the meditation will move. You'll see the top has the passage, and then there's going to be these four prompts at the bottom. And I will be doing all of the reading. I'll be doing all of the prompts for you. You don't have to worry about any of that. So with the first reading, I'm actually going to read the passage through two times. And I'm going to read it through twice because it'll take you at least until the second time for your mind to adjust and for you to engage. There will be 4 minutes of silence between each of the readings of John. So for some of you, that's not going to be nearly enough. And for others of you, that's going to be unbearable. I understand. So trust that I will be tracking the time, as Sandy said, so you can rest. It will end at 4 minutes promptly. So in this first silence, we are going to allow God to make his word alive and active in our hearts. So we're going to listen for the word that maybe grabs us, or we're going to listen for the word that gently caresses us, or the word or phrase that we push against, that we feel it inside of us. And what I'd like to ask you to do is to just take some time to allow that word to just kind of sit in you. Don't try to judge it. Don't try to analyze it. Try not to start writing or going into prayer. Just kind of let that word echo in your heart. I'll end the first silence with a second question, and that's the question that calls us to reflect. So here you'll be asked, how does this word or phrase connect with my life right now? And again, you want to just start wondering with God, like, why did I hear that word? Why did that phrase stand out? Why did I rebel against that? What's happening in my life that I would make these connections? In the third reading, we'll be asked to respond. And we'll be asked to respond however you choose. It could be a conversation with God. You'll see there's plenty of room here if you want to journal, if you want to journal a prayer. This particular practice, I think, naturally leads us with the response to pray. And lastly, I'll invite you to rest in God's word, and then to return to the word that he gives you, the word or phrase in the days to come, and just kind of allow that to open up inside of you. Now, I will then, at the last silence, I'll close, I'll say amen. And at that time, you should be sitting in your small group. So you know, if you want to kind of gather closer, that'll be an opportunity for you to share, how was this experience for you? What did God say? What did I hear in the quiet? Why was it hard? What did I like? What didn't I like? So while you're in your groups, I want to invite you to continue listening. And again, for extroverts and verbal processors, you are my people. So please just leave a little bit of space for silence. Some people will need some time to kind of catch up and engage. And again, the silences may feel awkward, but you know, just kind of grab your chair and hold on. And then after about 20 minutes, I'll kind of be watching. I'll come up here, I'll end with the prayer, and then we are off to Bunko Land. So again, you have the passage before you, and I would really encourage you to just try to close your eyes and allow this word of God to be read over you. There is something sweet about that, and it can really help in your ability to be present. And even to help with the distractions, because in a room this size, there are going to be distractions. And there can't help but be distractions. But as I said at the outset, I think what God is really showing me is that with distractions, it's really an opportunity to practice the gift of discipline. Because truth, life is full of distractions, and God still calls us to be quiet. So let the distractions call you back into the quiet and not out of it. Now, finally, you will have monkey brain. That's a guarantee, especially if you're not used to this. And it'll be amazing what you will start thinking about, what the enemy is going to toss at you. So, you know, what I typically do, again, I am a visual person, so I like to just look at my thoughts like cars. They're just driving past. And if I get stuck on a to-do, like, and it keeps coming back, I just write it down. It's like, okay, unloaded it, it's on my paper, and I'll come back to it. Those are just a few techniques that work for me. So, all right, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, that was so much for me to be quiet, like, that's ridiculous, Susan. Relax, because if you forgot everything I said, I'm going to walk you through every minute of this practice, except for your quiet time, so you can just relax in my voice. So, as we turn towards stillness, we're going to first acknowledge that God put our souls in a body. And our bodies need a little bit to try to be still. So I want you to just take a minute and notice how you're sitting. Okay, keep your legs crossed, because I see all of you are like, I'm going to just relax now. So it's like, I usually sit like this. My ears, like my shoulders are up at my ears, and I have my legs crossed and my arms crossed. And sometimes I do this. So I'm trying to pay attention. So I just want you to take a deep breath. Okay, do it again. Just kind of release your shoulders. If you want to uncross, uncross. If you want to just put your hands down, just kind of find that place of comfort, because you're going to have a conversation with your best friend, the God of the universe, who loves you, who longs to be with you. Take another deep breath. Sometimes I like to just relax my face, because when you're old, things get out of whack, and so you want to just kind of put things back. I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to pay attention to how you're coming to this practice. What are you bringing with you? Are you tired? Are you lonely? Are you joyful? Are you anxious? Offer that to God. Is there a picture in your mind's eye that would help you to grow still? Is there a prayer that you want to offer? Something like, "Here I am, Lord." Do that now. First reading, listen for the word or phrase that draws you, that pulls at your heart, or the word or phrase that you resist, and let that word echo and resonate in your heart. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Second reading, reflect. Listen for the way this word touches or connects with your life right now. Why am I hearing this word today? How is Jesus speaking this word to me? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.